Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to the G-Note Podcast. I am your host, Jason Spicy G. Goldman, and I am a Grammy-winning record producer, arranger, and musician. I've been a music professor at USC for over 22 years, and I am most known for writing and producing music for the iconic Michael Bublé over the past two decades. This is a podcast for musicians who want advice and strategies on navigating the music industry. If you're not a musician, but a music fan, I promise there is plenty in here for you as well. On this pod, we talk all things music. On today's pod, we are talking about how it's never too late to start something new. Let's go. All right, everyone. Today we are discussing why it's never too late to start something new. Specifically, we're going to discuss this, of course, as it relates to music. There are plenty of musicians that didn't make it until later in the career. And I guess we're defining make it as having significant success in the industry. Here are a couple that actually might surprise you. The famous opera singer, Andre Bocelli, one of the best-selling singers ever, didn't even release his first album until he was 34. I mean, that's pretty insane, actually. Bill Withers, the guy who sang Lean On Me, Lovely Day, Just the Two of Us, he didn't release his first album until he was 32. A couple others, like rocker Sheryl Crow, was 31 when her debut came out, and maybe some more recent people, the fight song singer, Rachel Platten, she didn't break until she was 34. Yeah, she started earlier in her career, but she didn't actually give her, she didn't actually break through until she was 34. And matter of fact, her story was a little bit interesting. I don't know if anyone's out there has heard about her, but basically she was about to give up and this was kind of her last hurrah, hence the fight song idea. And luckily for her, it hit at 34. And finally, the pop star that many people know, Sia, the one who sings the song with David Guetta, Titanium, when she got her first big break, now she had been singing and writing for a while, but when she got her first big break, her first number one on Billboard, she was 41 years old, which, again, in the pop world, that's just very, very rare. If you've listened to this podcast before, you know that I like to weave my stories around the topics we're discussing to give you real-life examples, and so here goes. So I didn't start producing until, here it comes, 2008. I was 33 when I first decided I wanted to actually produce music. Up until that point, it was literally, I was a jazz musician who was focused on playing my saxophone and writing and arranging jazz music. That's what I did. I went to college at Berklee College of Music for that. I was at in the Thelonious Monk Institute of Jazz, playing and writing, and concurrently doing my master's at USC. So everything to me was playing and writing up until that point. So the way that I got into this was a bit random, actually. I was doing a ton of teaching at the time, and quite honestly, you know, a bit too much for my liking. I was juggling like three different schools, you know, I was about to have my second kid and just bought my first house, which we could barely afford, my wife and I. And so it was a really hectic time and probably not the best idea to start adding something to my career. So my old roommate from Berklee College of Music, out of the blue, had given me a call and asked if I wanted to do a jazz gig with him at this new club at the time that opened up in Hollywood called Cafe Was. It was right down, if you're familiar with LA or, you know, it's in Hollywood right around Vine, and I think it was like Sunset. Really chic, new, hip club. Had like the chandelier was like upside down, that one of those kind of things, which was pretty cool. So my roommate, who is still, by the way, one of my favorite people and close friends, was J.R. Rodham, who, you know, if you know producers, became an incredibly huge producer. He has hits. His first major, you know, hits were with Beyonce on the record that had Crazy in Love on it. But also for Britney Spears, I even think he dated Britney Spears for a hot second. Fall Out Boy, and a number of other artists, probably most known for founding and producing Jason Derulo. If you cats out there remember What You Say, right? That's JR. Matter of fact, right after that thing in the music, you hear JR. That's him. He's a fantastic musician and a great producer. He had actually moved out to California a bit before I did. And he and I would always stay in touch over the years, you know, maybe once or twice a year. So needless to say, I was really confused as to why he wanted to do a jazz gig. I mean, he literally at this time, he was like one of the top producers in the world. So it turns out he just wanted to get back into playing jazz music, as he had been entrenched in pop and hip hop for the last several years. And, you know, for those that aren't really familiar too much with jazz, I mean, it's one of those disciplines that you work on for the rest of your life. There's so much to learn and so much to work on in jazz music. So he just got inspired to start playing again. So the night of the gig came, and we were going to play some standards. And for those that aren't familiar again with jazz, most standards were originally Broadway songs like back in the mid-1900s. And jazz musicians typically know, like, on average, about, you know, a couple hundred songs by memory. That's what we do. This way, we're able to play with other jazz musicians without any rehearsal at all and just by knowing the repertoire. So we had two sets to play that night. And so after the first set, we usually had a dinner break. And during the break, JR and I would end up always, you know, talking about career stuff and reminiscing about our college days at Berklee and, you know, the fun times we had. And during the break of one of the dinner breaks of one of the gigs, we got into catching up. And I said, man, I've been following your career and it seems freaking amazing. You know, what's it like producing for these mega artists? And mind you, at the time, I really did not have much knowledge of the type of producing or even what a producer did, really. You know, especially what a modern producer does. Yes, I knew about producing from watching David Foster, but he was what I call an old school producer, and JR is a more modern producer. Before I explain the difference, let's get a quick word from our sponsor.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycom order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Welcome back, everyone. So the difference between an old school producer and a new school producer. An old school producer like oversees an album. He, she works closely with an artist or band and hires people around him or her to make the album come to fruition, right? Hiring songwriters, arrangers, contractors, musicians. Think of this type of producer more like a CEO. They don't really get their hands dirty with the engineering or the playing of the music or the writing of the music. Typically, they like to delegate. And there's hardly any producers like this anymore. I mean, some iconic producers, right, would be Quincy Jones, David Foster, George Martin, right? Those are the cats. The modern day producer is someone who actually does it all. There are basically five people today, and this includes myself, all rolled into one. We are producers, engineers, musicians, writers, composers, all rolled into one. We're competent in, you know, in using music engineering software. We take an album literally from start to finish, much of the time nowadays, you know, by ourselves sometimes. I would say probably a lot of records, we could do the entire thing, right? Literally on our own. And I do a lot of records in here in the studio by myself. I do the engineering. People come in, we record the vocals, backing tracks, etc. And being a music producer. And at the end of it, I was already super impressed. And I said, wow, you know, this sounds amazing. And he said this to me. He said, actually, it's very close to being an arranger. Because he knew that my main thing was arranging music, like jazz music, big band, orchestra music. And he said to me, you would actually be a really great producer. And I said, I really wouldn't even know where to begin. I don't have any gear. I don't have a studio. I have a laptop. You know, literally nothing. And he said, look, why don't you come in to my studio for the day? And I'll show you what I do. So again, if you've listened to this podcast before, you know when an opportunity is present, I'm going to take advantage of that opportunity. So a week or so later, I went down to his studio. He took one of his days off and he showed me how he worked. He had this freaking killer studio. I think it was at the time at Chalice, which is down in Hollywood, of course. It was awesome. Top of the line gear. He had an engineer that came in and ended up coming later in the day, and it was great. So he showed me how he worked. He hit me to the gear that I would need. He connected me with his engineer, like I said, who was there. And he's like, hey, my engineer can help you with any of your tech needs and get you at least set up with the stuff you need to get. Honestly, it wasn't a huge investment of money. So for those of you who are thinking about being a music producer, you know, that's something to be thinking about. Being an actual music producer as opposed to a beat maker is something we'll talk about on a different episode. But in any event, it's not a huge investment of money. I'd already had a laptop and I just literally needed a microphone, a keyboard to get started. And he had actually, Jared was nice enough, he gave me one of his preamps. A preamp is what you plug a microphone into. And they all have different sounds and colors, but they amplify the microphone because the microphone needs amplification. So while I was incredibly hesitant to tackle an additional career choice, as I mentioned, especially after already having a kid and another one on the way, I saw how much success JR had and it inspired me. Learning to produce at a high level takes a lot of time. Yes, anyone can drag and drop loops, which is why I said there's a difference between a beat maker and a producer. For those that are not musicians, loops are pre-recorded instruments that you can use in your projects. you know, they are usually high quality and great sound. So you can, you know, someone could record a drum loop, boons, gots, boons, got, and that's a sample. And you could take that and move that into your project and voila, rather than go to a studio and spend money on drums, you have a drum sample. To be a big producer in today's climate, you honestly don't even need to be, dare I say it, a musician. I mean, look at producers like Diplo or Benny Blanco. Both Benny is, you know, known for Kesha, like the TikTok, Blow, some Katy Perry songs. Diplo did a bunch of different songs with like Justin Bieber and Skrillex and a number of different people. Oh, and Sia. And they, both of them created huge, huge hits and barely could play an instrument. Barely. If you look it up, they could barely play an instrument. And Diplo said he couldn't even play one at all. I think Benny would kind of like at least tinker in some of the interviews that I saw. So at the age of 33, I decided to dig deep, jump off a ledge, and learn how to produce. I had to learn fast, though, as, you know, age is always a factor in music, you know, just the music industry in general. But I hustled my ass off to learn and get better. And I would stay up literally to 2-3 in the morning, as the only time I had to learn was at night, starting at 10 p.m., when both my wife and my son would go to bed. You know, we'd have dinner, I'd spend time with them. And then during the day, I did three different teaching gigs. So the only time I had was this 10 a.m. to, you know, whatever time I could stay up until. And I would constantly be learning and working with young artists and songwriters for the next 7 years. 7 years it took me. And finally, by the age of 40, I got my big break. As you all can see with my story, you know, I didn't start till 33. I didn't get a big break until 40. I do want to make sure that, look, I understand. I had a music education and I was still working on music and arranging and connecting with people all through those years. But the point I'm making here, folks, is that, you know, if you want something bad enough and you want to try to get into something, like I'm got into podcasting recently, you have to go in 100%, more than 100%, and you got to dig deep and just go for it, because it's just really not too late. But you have to be, as always, strategic and well-organized to make these things happen. And if you decide to take the leap, you have to slam your foot on the gas pedal and go all the way. And I promise, success will come to you. I mean, it just does. And I, again, there's always lucky breaks that happen along the way. I mean, God, this is the music industry, right? You know, some people make it with hardly any talent, and some people are geniuses, you know, in general. And they make it probably about equally, unfortunately. But that's the way it goes. So hopefully this will inspire you to either continue what you're doing and go further, or pick up something new that could potentially help your career in the long term. Folks, that is all the time we have for today's episode. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this pod so you can stay up to date with new shows, giveaways, and more importantly, and I say this all the time, the concerts. You got to come out to one of the big band concerts. My big band, The 17, we're always playing down at Vibrato, usually every 2-3 months in Hollywood. You should come. I promise you'll love it. I'm always featuring insanely gifted singers. You should come down. Check out the website for the dates. You can also follow me on Instagram at SpicyGMusic, or like I said, check out the website, jasongoldmanmusic.com. To see what projects I'm currently working on and to see when I'll be performing next. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Much love. Peace.